This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone, and happy Thanksgiving weekend or Thanksgiving week, or let's just say happy holidays, Merry Christmas, whatever holiday you are experiencing during this time frame that you're listening to us, or if it's just happy Thursday. Who cares, right? It is Turnbuckle Trash, and we are here, your Thanksgiving turkey, because we are recording this on Thanksgiving Day. It's Dave Denton and Christopher Evans. How you doing, my friend Chris?
Both birds are now stuffed. Oh my gosh, what a dinner.
Hey.
Finally one day off. Tomorrow will be my first day off in like 3 weeks. Been working my tail off 7 days a week, 14 hours a day. And this man right here is tired.
Yeah. So. And that's what happens when you have your own business, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. It's called... You work until you fall over, and I'm not ready to fall over just yet. So.
You've come close, though.
I've come close.
Yeah.
But we got some real good topics to talk about today.
Yes, we
do. I mean,
do.
Today.
We're gonna, of course, we'll talk a little bit about WWE. We'll talk about AEW with the past two pay-per-views. And I've got a little thought process about how the two promotions are promote professional wrestling, but the approaches are completely different. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And also we'll be talking about Devotion Championship Wrestling getting ready for their third anniversary. And we have the Devotion Champion with us. And we'll be talking to Brent Buffet. And we'll talk about his young career. He's been doing this for about 2.5 years. And now he is the champion of Devotion Championship Wrestling. He's training with the Nightmare Factory, also doing things with Ohio State, the Ohio Valley Wrestling, and doing a lot of wrestling in Georgia and North Carolina, where you live, Chris.
Yeah, you got through telling me about that. I think it would be an honor to meet the gentleman.
So we'll try to get that all set up for you there, Chris. And
okay, cool.
I'd like to thank everyone for joining in with us. And we do have former editions of Turnbuckle Trash that are available on most of your podcast networks there, and also on our website, turnbuckletrash.net. And I am working on something right now that should be available real soon. I'm going to be putting all the interviews we have done with performers and with some special guests over the years. And then also we'll have our year end coming up at the end of the year, talking about some of the highlights of the 2021. And in my personal life, there hasn't been a lot of highlights, but no, we'll, retirement has been good, but we'll have all that coming up. And also, I want to remind everyone, I do another podcast called Radio Guy Reflections, which is all about the world of radio, and it's available on many of these same podcasting networks or at davesvoiceworks.com. Dave's Voiceworks is spelled W-O-R-X when you do voice works, and you can check that out and get pictures and also some highlights of my radio career on there too. So, Chris, let's talk about some of the things that have occurred in the world of professional wrestling. First off, let's talk about what's going on with the WWE and also with the All Elite Wrestling, because they've both had recent pay-per-views and they were both very different types of pay-per-views.
Yeah, one was good and one laid an egg. Literally.
It did. But okay, let's do this. When you're talking about the pay-per-views, the WWE, in my opinion, has done a very poor job of setting up the pay-per-views. I mean, we had an Extreme Rules pay-per-view that had one match with Extreme Rules.
Yep,
I mean,
that's true.
And everything else was just regular matches. I mean, they were good.
Yep.
They were decent matches, but there was no real setup for Extreme Rules.
Nope, there wasn't.
And then we have Survivor Series, which they named their teams. They didn't have competitions. They had a couple little twists thrown in there. There wasn't any invasion angles. There wasn't any real heat between the two shows, except for between Roman Reigns and Big E and the Usos and the New Day. That's where the only real heat came between the two shows. And I thought that really messed up what really turned out to be a decent pay-per-view, except for laying of the egg. Oh, that egg was, it was $100 million egg, according to Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. And he's bringing it and hanging it around and hanging it in his hands. $100 million egg that The Rock just gave him. I believe that. Just be
looked like it came out of the dollar store is what it looked like. It
looked like a Cadbury egg to me.
But my question, you know, somebody had put this on a Facebook page, so that's why they had all the budget cuts so they can get that damn egg. Really?
It was a tie-in with Netflix and this show that The Rock's going to be in. I don't even know nothing about it because I don't have Netflix, so I don't really know what the show is all about. But The Rock's going to be in it, and they're doing this tie-in. And when they did the tie-in, and I got to admit, I was biting it too. Didn't you think that maybe that The Rock would show up at Survivor Series to maybe set up something for WrestleMania?
Oh, no, not him.
And it, I mean, social media went crazy about that. And then the WWE caught a lot of flack because of the stealing angle, the theft of the $100 million gold egg that laid an, it was the biggest egg they've laid since the gobbledygooker. I mean, come on.
I think I know who stole the egg. It was Brock Lesnar for all the back payments he's missed. I mean, come on. Why are you getting it? Of all the things that you could do in wrestling, you know what? We've done everything else. Let's lay an egg. Literally, let's lay an egg.
Well, they've done that too. I mean, yeah, the gobbledygooker was laying an egg. That was terrible.
Well, somebody had put on there, remember what happened the last time they had an egg that came out?
Yeah. So the egg was stolen, and McMahon was all over Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville saying they got to find out who did it, and then everybody was going to be at Monday Night Raw, and if they didn't find the egg, people were going to get fired and blah, 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 blah. It was so bad.
It was bad. Who's writing this crap?
Yeah, Monday Night Raw. Okay, they open up with McMahon and this case that didn't have the egg in it, and he has Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville saying if they don't find the egg and who stole the egg by the end of Monday Night Raw, that Sonya and Adam were going to get basically fired. You know, he didn't say you're fired, but he said, you know the word.
I know the word.
And I'm trying to be almost nice here, except in comes Sammy. Sammy comes in and he says, well, I think I know who it is. And Sammy says, I think I know who it is. And if I can bring that person here and bring you back the egg, and McMahon says he can get a title shot. Whoever brings in the person that stole the egg gets a title shot with Big E on Monday Night Raw. So Sammy brings in Austin Theory.
Yep.
Brings him in, and Austin says he wanted to take a, quote, selfie with the egg. That's his gimmick right now. And that there was so much security, he freaked out, and that's why he stole the egg, and he apologized. Now, the one clever little twist on this whole story, and it was slightly clever, was Sammy got screwed. He didn't get the title shot like McMahon said he was. It was Austin Theory that got the title shot.
Yeah, well.
So it's the conspiracy theory all over again. But it wasn't thought out. I mean, at the very best, that segment was not thought out. At the very best.
No, it wasn't.
It was
bad.
It was poor. And it could have been handled so much better if they would have put a little thought process. It's almost like they did it at the last minute. I'm wondering if that didn't happen, if they just didn't decide to do it that.
You know, the WWE, they get their coloring books out. They don't know how to draw anything up. They can't come up with a good storyline anymore. So they just do this. It's McMahon is destroying his own company from the inside. So what does it matter anymore? I mean, people are looking at Monday Night Raw and they're thinking, why am I watching this anymore?
Okay.
I watch the NFL.
And they do. The Monday Night Raw ratings are not very good. I'm going to get into this in just a little bit, but I want to talk about the difference between the Survivor Series and a show like Full Gear that the AEW did. And because of how they handled it, and it wasn't a perfect pay-per-view, but it was pretty good. The Full Gear was, as I have my note here, a good, solid show with better storytelling in the ring.
Yes.
And I think that might be one of the biggest differences between what's going on with AEW right now and the WWE is storytelling. Where is that story being told? Is it in the ring, or is it being told in segments, you know, talk segments and promo segments? Where is that story really being told? And I do think that the WWE is leaning towards starting to, and they've been doing this for years, and maybe I'm just catching on, that their storytelling is more in their 15-minute talk segments and promo segments instead of getting in there and really having, more matches and more action in the ring. But I'll tell you this, for Full Gear, I found newfound respect in the ring for two people.
Okay.
MJF and Darby Allin. Now, I've been a little Darby Allin fan anyway, but MJF, you know, in the ring, I said, well, he's got the mic skills, but what's his ring work? Because he really doesn't do a lot of in-ring work. But in this match, he did. And I don't know if you've been able to see it. And it was dang good. And they put on a really good match for the first match of the pay-per-view. Now, of course, they had a women's tag team match in the free segment. But this was just a solid, solid match. And then, of course, the ring comes into play with MJF hitting that diamond ring against Darby Allin and picking up the win with the move, you know, where he did the little hip toss and won the match 1-2-3, which MJF had been saying he could beat Darby Allin with a simple hip toss move. And technically he did. And that to me was storytelling in the ring. They set it up with their promo, but the story was being told inside the ring. And I mean, really, MJF and Darby Allin put on a heck of a show. It was really good.
Didn't Darby get hurt in that match?
He's been talking. What you're talking about is Darby has been saying that there was a match that he was doing in New York one time, a couple of years ago with Joey Janela, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Where he a spot was missed and his head hit to the concrete, and he actually had a brain bleed. He thinks so. Very dangerous thing going on there.
Yeah.
So then, you know, the Lucha Brothers and FTR, that was a great match for a tag match. Two very good. I really like FTR. I really do. And the Lucha Brothers, I mean, they're high flying and they do some incredible stuff, but I really like FTR. They're just kind of fun to watch for me.
Oh, they're fun to watch. Yeah. I mean, they're a good tag team. I mean, they're like a top five tag team for me right now.
Yeah.
They're tearing it all to pieces.
Yeah, they're the AAA champions, by the way. And the guys of Lucha Brothers are the tag team champions in AEW now. And that was really good. But then another one, and I was kind of sitting there thinking over the last few weeks. And once again, I'm getting back to this telling the story inside the ring. Because if you watch AEW, you've noticed since Bryan Danielson has been in the ring over the last couple of weeks. He's been extremely aggressive and almost being heelish, you know, almost a heel. And he had this match with Miro where they were going to be for the Eliminator tournament finals, and whoever won would get a match against who is it going to be the champion. So Danielson wins in just a solid, solid match. But I kept on seeing that little mean streak, that streak that I'm going, Brian's going to turn heel here real quick. And he did the following Wednesday night in a promo segment with Hangman Adam Page, who was the winner of the title now. He's the heavyweight champion of All Elite Wrestling. And Brian Danielson is full-on heel now. I mean, and that's where telling the story in the ring over the few weeks, I mean, you could see it building and building and building, and then there it was. And I thought that segment or those segments were brilliant. How about you, Chris?
I thought it was perfect. I mean, I like Daniel as a heel. He's really good at it. But are you enjoying Hangman Adam Page as AEW champion?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I'd like Hangman.
I don't really
know
that much about the man's career. I mean, I've seen a couple of his matches, but I really don't know that much about his career.
Well, where I became familiar with Hangman was in ROH. He was in ROH for a couple of years. Of course, he was a lot younger. And then he went over to Japan, and he was part of the Bullet Club over in Japan. And then when he came back to the States as part of AEW, he was one of the originals. He was a tag team champion there. And he's a younger man as far as, you know, the stars of AEW goes. And that's one of the complaints on social media is all they're doing is bringing in the WWE rejects and making them, giving them the push. No, they're doing it both ways. They're getting younger guys, giving them a push, and then also some of the older guys letting them get a push, you know?
Well, they need to. That's what some of our complaints have been. Why bring in the older wrestlers and, you know, pushing the other young talent back? But now AEW must be listening to us on Turnbuckle Trash, because now they're pushing the young guys and pushing some of the older people back, which that's good.
Yeah.
These new guys need to have some, but now that ROH is out of business.
Yeah.
I expect to see a whole bunch of people come from Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and you've already got one, Jay Lethal.
That was a big surprise for me.
Right.
When I saw him walk out, I'm like, well, that didn't take long.
No, it didn't. So Chris, but I think what we'll do right now, we'll kind of go back just a little bit here, because what I want to do is talk about how here's a younger talent.
Yep.
And then an older guy that are playing off each other in a great way. And this happened last night, because we're recording this on Thanksgiving Day. And it was a promo in the ring to begin the All Elite Wrestling. And it had in the ring CM Punk in Chicago, and in walks none other than MJF. And they, I mean, it was a long segment, and I complain about long segments a lot with the Monday Night Raw and what goes on in the in WWE. But what I want to do right now is play you a segment of what these two old guy, new guy promo, but it was different because they were cutting WWE a new one.
Oh, yeah.
You saw the segment I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's play a little bit of that segment right now. Here is MJF, CM Punk, and they're trading insults in a promo, and they get into stuff about the WWE. Now, I'm not going to play the entire 15-minute segment. I'm just going to leave in the stuff where they mention wrestlers or the WWE in some form or another. So here we're doing this on Turnbuckle Trash.
You didn't want to go toe-to-toe with me on the stick, Punk? Well, too bad. Because I'm about to verbally finish you quicker than your UFC career. So check your watch, Papa Punk, because if you decide to retort, it won't say clobbering time. it'll say out of time. You can drop cute little pipe bombs all you want, because I'm MJF, and I drop nukes.
You introduced yourself to me. That's what a proper young man is supposed to do to their elders. And I had no idea your first name was Maxwell. This entire time, I thought MJF stood for my jealous fan. He thinks he's somebody. He thinks what he does is revolutionary to the wrestling business, when in reality, he's just a less famous Miz. And I have the microphone, Chicago! And I'm here to tell you, you should be scared, man. In the other company, these people looked at you like a cult hero because they felt you were held down. You should have been utilized and showcased as the number one guy. Whether it was the You Can't See Me Man or the King of Kings, you were never quite up to snuff, were you?
But I was selling out Madison Square Garden when you were marking out for Rosie O'Donnell.
And who's the man around here? Who's number one? Is it you? No, I don't think so. The only way you're gonna be number one is if we all wait around long enough for Tony to have a daughter that you marry.
Turnbuckle Trash.
Chris, I don't know what the best part of that was. What was it when CM Punk said that you're nothing but a less popular Miz, or the stuff where they were talking about John Cena, or all the other? I mean, they tore a new one into the WWE inside this promo, and I'm not, to be honest with you, I'm not that sure if they should concentrate so much on cutting down the WWE. What about you?
Well, I don't think they need to focus on the WWE, but you know, there's a lot of talent there from the organization that has they're still licking their wounds and crying about how they were treated. But Punk is a mark for himself. But I can understand why he did it. When he said you're about as unpopular like a low rent Miz, and I just had to stop YouTube for a second and just bawl laughing.
That was funny.
Because it was just, and then the Cena thing, I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, please stop, guys. Don't do this no more. But it was fun to listen to because we don't get promos like that.
No.
With the WWE, we don't get promos like that.
Yeah.
And Punk is great on the mic, and so's MJF.
Yeah.
But we don't get that. And it was okay. It was good to have stuff like that. But let's tone it down a little bit with, you know, okay, slam the company a little bit, but, you know, that's where you got your start.
Yeah.
Your big push.
And I'm sure there's some, you know, hard feelings there, especially with Punk. I mean, you know that there's hard feelings there, but there's been a lot of talk about in 2024, when MJF's contract is up with AEW, that WWE might be right in line to try to pull him away. And is that going to be the first big name to jump ship? I say it could be.
Do we actually want to see MJF go over there and get buried?
And that would happen.
They won't know how to use him.
Yeah.
They'll ruin his career. Just keep going with AEW and just deal with it there. I mean, how long has MJF been in wrestling?
Just a few years. I mean, not a lot of time. He was on the indie circuit. He was in Major League Wrestling for a while. He traveled a lot on the East Coast and did a lot of stuff there. And Darby Allin and he have faced each other quite a few times in Major League Wrestling. And, you know, I don't know exactly how many years he's been in, but
I just don't see him going to the WWE. Why do it when you're red hot where you're at right now?
money. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
Take the money and run, you know. Who's going to pay you the most? But then you got to say, am I going to get buried? Am I going to get fired after being called up for 2 weeks? Like, you know, the people in Hit Row. I hated that theme.
Well, Hit Row got hit on the road because that's what they deserve, because they were boring and I didn't like them. I don't think anybody really liked them.
Yeah.
I mean, the one guy that they had on there, his only popularity was going on WWE Treasures.
Right. That was top dollar.
Yeah. So that's the only thing that you were popular for. We haven't seen you in the ring whatsoever. Now, I haven't.
No. I saw him a little bit in NXT, you know, and then when they got called up to SmackDown for, 3 weeks, I think, was about all they were there. And it was a mess. So Chris, I'm going to go in here and just deal with me a little bit, you know, and make your comments where you want to go. I finally figured out what's going on between the two companies, not necessarily how they're battling each other, but their approach is so much different. Now you're gonna have to follow along here a little bit, and feel free to make comments wherever you want to. The WWE over the years, you know, they've been a very, very successful, very, very successful company. Right now, they are catching all kinds of flack. Social media, business people, networks, because they're releasing all this talent, and some of them are better than others. Now, granted on that, but then they do that saying it's budget cuts when they're reporting record profits. Yeah, they report these record profits, and then the next day, that's when they start more budget cuts. That doesn't make any sense to me. But where are those record profits coming from? Okay, it's coming from their TV product with the USA Network, and also with Fox TV, and a big portion from the sale of what's going on with the Peacock Network. And you've theorized that Vince is getting ready to try to sell the WWE, and I don't know if I quite agree with that. I think that they're just trying to take a different approach. Instead of being a wrestling company, they're more of a content provider. They're trying to fill content for the two networks and Peacock with their talk shows on the network. I mean, the Stone Cold interviews he does are incredibly good. Then they've got all the other little side shows that have been on the network anyway, and that's filling a void for the Peacock Network. And then the way they're approaching their TV product, you just look at it. We've talked a little bit about it on this particular podcast. They have longer segments where they're doing more scripted promos, and sometimes they work. Most of the times they don't, to be honest with you. I don't like these 15-minute promos that they're going through, and then they act like, you know, that's the way to do things. They've changed up a little bit, and if you watch Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, over the last month or so, I've noticed a kind of a subtle change where they open up their segments, the opening segment, with a highlight of what happened last week in the main event, kind of a highlight. Then they go to a 10 to 12-minute segment of talk. Maybe not quite as much in NXT, but they do with Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. So they've got basically the same format going on both shows. Then they act like they're setting up the card as the night progresses. They're not telling what's going to be happening throughout the night. They're not going to say, hey, coming up here next, we're going to be watching a women's tag team match or what. They don't say what the next segment's going to be. They're always looking back and saying, this is what happened 10 minutes ago. This is what happened to begin the show. It's going to set up the main event. So there are everything's about the last segment for the WWE. So their content goes like that. Where in AEW, they open up more times than not. This past Wednesday night was the exception. More times than not, as soon as the opening segment's over with, the opening musical segment and all the titles and all that stuff, they usually have wrestlers come to the ring and they start a match. And then during that commentary, they're talking about other matches already scheduled for that night. So they're setting up the entire show and not having the entire show go around whatever that main event is going to be. So that's a big, big difference in the approach on how to do a professional wrestling show. What do you think is better?
I think, going through, like the old time when the WWE would say, okay, tonight's card is going to be Shawn Michaels versus the Gobbledygooker or whatever for the Intercontinental title, 2 out of 3 falls, or you know which segment's coming up next because you're following it. This just going off by the fly, it's not working anymore.
Yeah.
They've got so many wrestlers that are disgruntled. Charlotte wants out of her contract now. But, I agree 100% with what you just said, and it makes perfect sense. But from what and I've said this before, I think Vince is just trying to destroy something his father created, and he wants out, or he wants someone to buy the company. And I, like you said, you don't think that's going to happen. You really don't.
I don't.
But I like the AEW's product and the way that they're doing things. It's getting really, really good. Every night after I get off from work on Wednesdays, I watch AEW Dark. Before I hit the hay. And I mean, I'm impressed because as soon as they're done with one match, bam, they tell you what the next match is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there it is.
Right.
And it's perfect.
Yeah.
But for how long can How long can AEW keep that up? How long can they keep the fans interested in their matches? So, we've seen so many times with the matches in WWE, Big E versus this person that you've already fought 7 times, or Roman Reigns battles Brock Lesnar for the 27th time. We've seen these matches before. We're tired of them. We're sick of the same matches over and over and over again. And I think that's what's really hurting the WWE. But these new people with NXT, and I think you're right that they're the Peacock network they have. That's what's going on. You hit the nail right on the head.
Well, thank you.
Right on the head.
I like nailing things.
So. There we go. That works for me too.
Tell you what, let's take a little bit of a break right now. But I want to get everyone hang around because coming up next we have a special interview with the DCW Devotion Championship Wrestling heavyweight champion. He's Brent Buffshay, and we talk about his career, his early days, his background, but we're also talking about the 3rd anniversary show, and it's coming up December the 3rd and 4th in Salt Lake City, Utah. And if you can't make it to Salt Lake City, you still can watch it watch some of it on Fight TV eventually, and then on some of the stuff on YouTube and more. We're going to talk to him about DCW, also training at the Nightmare Factory, and some of the people he's been in the ring with, or some of the different things he's done in his career. And we're going to talk to Brent, and we could say the Trash Brothers are getting buff, and we'll do that next, right here on Turnbuckle Trash. And now on Turnbuckle Trash, we have a wrestler that we have talked to a couple of times over his career. He's from Salt Lake City, but now living in Atlanta, Georgia, doing some training with the Nightmare Factory. He's been training all over the country, basically. We're going to talk to him. It's Brent Buffshay. Brett, how you doing, my man?
Hey, what's up, Dave? It feels so good to be on the show again. Always a great time.
Well, I think the last time I talked to you, you were in a tag team called the Brothers Smith, and we had just got through with the show, and we were talking, and then the Great Watcher happened to be walking by, Tombstone Jesus. I just thought that was so cool to get the way you guys just continued on with the conversation And I just, I was impressed. That was really cool. So
that was a fun run. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. So Brett, let's talk a little bit about your social media. How can people follow your journey in professional wrestling?
Oh yeah. You could find me pretty much everywhere, all over social media at Brett Buffshay, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. It's just Brett Buffshay. Super easy to find.
Brett, I'm going to embarrass you really quickly, okay? Are you ready for this?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now, I've known you for just about 3 years, I would say, because I didn't go to the very first show. I think I went to, like, the third or fourth show. And that's where I met you at. And
yes,
you've been on social media every once in a while. You'll put a picture of yourself. I think it was when you were still in high school. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that was back in the high school days when I was playing football with the beautiful mullet.
Had the mullet thing going on, and you had a little roly-poly action in the belly area there.
Yep, defensive end, so I was pretty big.
Now, let's talk a little bit about what's going on now, because you have really worked on your physique and your body. Because now you're getting close to a bodybuilder type body on you, man. Your thighs are enormous. So what have you been doing?
Man, I have been literally eating, sleeping in the gym, basically, man. I'm always in the gym, training. I'm in the gym probably like twice a day, and then wrestling training on top. So I'm constantly always in the gym, watching my diet. That was the biggest thing for sure. Once I changed up my diet, all the results have been coming in, and I've just been addicted to the results and keep chasing my dream body.
You know, that's that's interesting, because I was talking to Manny Limonzi.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah, and he said the same thing, because you know his body has really changed over the last year and a half.
No, definitely, yeah. He's definitely he's added some size, and yeah, me and him, we train together all the time at the gym, so
yeah,
making gains together and training together.
Well, the exciting news is that you, Brett Buffshay, are the Devotion Championship Wrestling champion, the DCW
yes,
champion.
Sir.
Yeah, baby. That's
the world heavyweight champ. Let's go.
That is
took
so
it off
cool.
Of solo.
So you took yes, it off Andrew?
I had to, yeah, man. He was doing the crowd dirty. I had to put him in his place.
And that's not easy, because Andrew's a big young man, you know. So
he's a big guy, and he's one of the longest reigning DCW champs in history. So it feels good to dethrone him.
Yeah, and you know what? He is. I talk about him being large, but man, that man can move in the ring.
He seriously can. And even yesterday, we were at a wrestling training, and I saw the man on the top, standing on the top rope, doing 5 squats. I can't even get on the top rope.
No way.
I was very impressed. He's a big guy, but he can go.
Yeah, I've known Andrew for several years now, and it's been a really interesting journey. Let's talk about something that's going on. Let's get the exact date for the DCW third anniversary show. I know you're going to be heavily involved with that.
Oh, yes, sir. The big 3-year anniversary on December 4th. It's going to be a good time. I was so excited. Triple threat action. I got Brother Chatwin and Andrew Sowell defending the world title. It's gonna be fun.
You're gonna be in a triple there, huh?
Yes, sir. Because sadly, at the last show, it ended in a no contest. Because Brother Chatwin wanted to, for whatever reason, get involved. So now I'm ready for a triple threat.
And that there's a little history there, because you guys were champions in the tag team division for a while.
Yeah, we were killing it as tag teams. We were taking over the tag team world. And then for whatever reason, decided to turn his back on me, stab me in the back with a book, and basically murder Brother Austin.
Oh, man. And you also... when you were tagging, you also won an award in Colorado as best tag team.
We were tearing up Colorado Tag Team of the Year, Salt Lake City Tag Team of the Year. We were on top, and then he decided to turn his back on me.
Ah, we'll have to get ready with the brother, the good brother there. He's turned the side there. He's gone to Tombstone Judas and then that guy, Matthew Robles, the MK Bandit.
Don't get me started on him.
Let's talk a little about Devotion Championship Wrestling. Out of Salt Lake City, you're going into your third year, the third anniversary show. And I think you've been there just basically since day one, haven't you, Brett?
Yes. No, seriously. So I started back in, I want to say, I debuted July of 2019, uh-huh. And I was a part of the first year anniversary show, the second anniversary show as well, and I'm so glad to be part of the third year as well. So, yeah, I've basically been here since the beginning, and I love DCW.
And you are also the champion. We'll get that in there one more time. That had to be pretty cool putting on that belt, especially taking it off Andrew, who does everything so well.
He does everything so well, and it did feel so amazing.
Yeah,
finally holding that world title.
Well, let's talk a little about the journey for Devotion Championship Wrestling. You guys wrestle at the Gateway, which is a shopping area near the Vivid Smart Home Arena where the Utah Jazz play, just basically across
prime area.
Yeah, it is it's a nice arena. You've got a really good parking and everything. And when you went to Devotion Championship Wrestling, you said, man, I want to learn this business of professional wrestling. You had to talk to Manny and start getting some training. How was that first little bit of training like?
Oh, that first little bit of training was very interesting. Yeah, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. I was super scared too showing up on the first day, and I was like the whole time like heading over there. I was like, am I making the right decision? Oh, what am I doing? Am I really gonna go through with this? And then the first couple trainings were so good. Day one, I got instantly hooked, and the rest has been history. My life has changed for the better.
You know, I was talking to Marlon Bishop. I mean, this guy is monster.
Yes. Batman, yes.
Yeah. And I talked to him. You know, he's got a professional football background. And I did an interview with him when he was doing some stuff with DCW. And I'm telling you, if you've never seen Marlon Bishop, this guy, somebody in the bigger leagues needs to sign this guy. He is so good.
I don't know why he's not yet.
Yeah, oh, me too. He's so good. I was so impressed with that man about his knowledge of the business and also his knowledge of just being a good man. That's what I liked about talking to Marlon. Now, when I was talking to him about training, I've talked about his football background, and I said, what was it like getting into the ring and doing the running of the ropes? That's one of the first things you got to do, and you got to learn how to fall. So I'm going to ask you the same thing. You got a little football background. You were a big guy. You said you played defensive line in high school.
Yes, sir.
What was that like getting in there and running those ropes for the first time?
Oh, man, those ropes are no joke. They will eat your skin up, man. I remember after the first training session, we were running the ropes. I get back home, my back is just all marked up just from the ropes just tearing me apart. And, I thought I would pick it up super quick, but it did take a little extra training to get the footwork down.
So let's go back just a little bit farther. You played some high school football. And what high school in the Salt Lake City area were you at?
Also, I went to Northridge. It's up north in the Utah area.
Yeah.
We had a really good football program. And then I also wrestled in high school as well. Heavyweight division. Let's go.
Wow. So they had to give you a little bit of a background about some of the moves. I mean, high school wrestling, you know, that's no joke, especially in Utah.
Oh, no.
Oh man, there's some good wrestlers that have come, in the amateur ranks. Woo, yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously, yeah. Some guys at state, they were, I was starting to train for, like, the Olympics. So I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I live in northern Utah, and Box Elder High School and Mountain Crest High School always have some great, great amateur wrestling going on there. But at Northridge, in my broadcasting career, I did some basketball games there and also broadcast.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with Northridge High School and also all the restaurants around there. I mean, because there's quite a few.
We got some good food around
here.
Yeah,
you sure do. But let's talk about that background and how it helped you as an athlete when you decided to go and pursue this professional wrestling. How did that background in high school sports help you out?
Oh, it definitely helped out really big because just being in like in a competitive environment, especially around like sports and all that, and with coaches helping you out, it definitely helped shape me to become a pro wrestler. I don't know if I would be able to be a pro wrestler right now if I didn't do like all my high school sports, because it definitely grew character in me and growth as a human.
So here you are, you're Are you fresh out of high school when you decided to do this tryout, or had you been out for a while?
Oh, no, this was, yeah, this has been, I think I was 20, I want to say 21 when I first, no, 22. 21 or 22 is when I started, yeah, but yeah, definitely a few years after high school. I was just tired, honestly tired, just working a real job, and I was like, I always, in the back of my mind, always wanted to be a pro wrestler and always had that thought in the back of my mind. I was like, you know what? I'm tired of just thinking about it. I'm going to go do it. And then looked up a training school, saw Devotion, hit up Manny, talked to him there, and yeah.
And that's the one thing about Manny. I mean, he's got the background. He left Utah to get some really good training, so he knows what he's done.
Yes. And then, oh, no, 100%.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about your training and how things have changed in a little bit. But I wanted to talk to you, Brad, about you said you were a wrestling fan and you wanted to try this out. Maybe some of your influences when you were a young man and maybe watching Monday Night Raw and all that. So
yeah, as a little kid, such a huge wrestling fan. Never missed a Monday Night Raw. Like, friends would always ask to hang out, like, on Friday night. I'm like, ah, sorry, I can't. I got to watch SmackDown. I was, like, diehard fan. Yeah. Some of my biggest influences, though, I've been Eddie Guerrero, Triple H, and The Rock.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, three goats right there. Yeah.
Man, you're talking some great ones there. And then,
oh, yes.
You know, and just this past weekend in AEW, when they had their pay-per-view, there were several of the wrestlers that saluted the late Eddie Guerrero, because the date of the pay-per-view was the anniversary date of his death. And he was, and I remember I got to meet Vicky Guerrero, and she's been on our podcast before.
Oh, she, no way.
That's awesome. Yeah. She, what a wonderful, wonderful lady. And she talked about that very tough time in her life. And she even told me she's writing a book. I haven't heard whether it's ready to be published or not about being married to
Eddie. I'm definitely going to read that.
Yeah, me too. But you've got this background. You're out of high school. You said you were working a real job. What were you doing at that time?
Oh man, so I was currently working at it's called Smith's. It's probably called Kroger out nationwide in other states. But yeah, I was just working at a grocery store.
Oh, and doing the bagging and doing the stocking and a little bit of everything.
Oh man, stocking, yeah, everything. I was Yeah, I was a department manager, so that was fun.
So
good times.
Let's talk a little bit about this training that you go into as a professional wrestler. And DCW, once again, is getting ready for their third anniversary, so December the 4th. And, yeah, that's going to be incredible because going to be at the Gateway. But when you started first training with Manny, there were some things that started to really happen, I think, with DCW. About that time, Vince Russo signed on. Vince Russo, one of the great minds in professional wrestling, especially back in the Monday Night Wars, he was coming in every show, and he was helping you guys with your training and how to react to the crowd and how to get the crowd involved. And then the big announcement with Ohio Valley Wrestling and the Al Snow Wrestling Academy. I know you do a lot of stuff with Al Snow. That had to be incredible to meet some of these people that are actual legends in the business. That had to be something really cool.
Oh man, it's so mind blowing. People that I watched on TV that I'm now like I'm working with. It's insane. Like it can't be real. But yeah. But going back to Vince Russo, when Russo joined us, it was such a huge. Huge help in my career with cutting promos and just character development. He's so smart on that.
And you, about that time, I remember that there was also, Danny Cage that came in from the Monster Factory?
Yeah. So good thing about with Devotion, Manny likes to bring in a bunch of seminars, mm-hmm. which is so helpful for your career. I definitely recommend hitting up seminars for sure. Mm-hmm. So when Manny brought in Danny Cage, that was such a great seminar, and I was only, I want to say, like 2 months in the business at that point. Uh-huh. And then during that seminar, Danny Cage offered a free week of training the Monster Factory. Uh-huh. So I definitely took advantage of that, went over to New Jersey and trained over there for a week, and then did a show for him as well, which was awesome.
And, you know, that's one of the big wrestling schools. I mean, when you talk about professional wrestling schools, you say – the Monster Factory, and you're going, oh, whoa, you know, that's because they've had some huge names come through.
Lots
school,
of names
man.
Came from there. Yes. Yeah.
So that I remember I talked to you a couple of, I think it was a month or so after you came back, and that was one of the interviews.
That is right. Yes, that is right.
And you were just beaming about that. That was really cool.
it was a good experience.
So let's talk about Al Snow, who it's been one of my favorites for years. When he used to wear the headband and it had helped me backwards with the styrofoam head. You know, I've actually got an unopened Al Snow figure with that in my collection. I really do.
You have to get that signed.
Yeah, when he was here in Salt Lake City, I was going to go down, but let's just say that Dave's health is it's not that great right now, so I wasn't able to go down because of some health issues. But yeah, I would love to be able to have him sign that for me sometime.
Oh man, yeah, that would be great.
But Al Snow has done everything from kind of like comedy to extreme wrestling. I mean, ECW stuff. He's done the grappling. His body, I mean, right now, I think he looks like he's in the best shape of his entire life.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in person when you see that man, he is jacked. It's insane.
So when you go and you go to Ohio Valley Wrestling, I think you did some training there, didn't you, at OVW?
Yes, sir.
What was that experience like? And was it in Louisville, or where do they train at now?
Yeah, so they train in Louisville, Kentucky, and that was such a cool experience, just being in the same arena that like John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Batista, Randy Orton all performed in, and I was able to perform there as well. It was such a legendary moment. And training with Al, he's so smart. He knows everything. Like one of the greatest trainers I've ever got to be in the ring with, for sure. It was definitely a great experience over there at the Davis Arena.
Yeah. So OVW, everything from the Nightmare, Danny Davis, to people like Jim Cornette, and now Al Snow involved with that, and mm-hmm. then as trainers and owners, and then you talk about the names like Randy Orton and John Cena, Mark
Lesnar. Yes, all the greats that came from there.
Yeah, they moved on. So that had to be like you, because you're a fan. You had to be almost 100%. Be in awe when you walked into that arena.
Oh yeah, so when you walk in there too, they have like a bunch of like posters of everyone that was in there. Just seeing like John Cena's poster there, and just knowing that you're also going to be performing here, it's pretty mind blowing for sure, especially as a thinking back as like a young kid thinking back on it just blows my mind.
So as a young performer, I mean, you've been in this for 2.5-3 years now, is that correct?
Yeah, 2.5.
Okay, so as a young performer, let's talk about some of the names that you have met, trained with, and the people that have really impressed you. Maybe even some names that we're not familiar with yet, because you know it's always changing. Let's talk about some of those people that you've met or have trained with.
Oh yeah, so I'm so super blessed for the opportunity to be training at the Nightmare Factory, because they bring in a lot of guest trainers, which is amazing. I got a chance to learn from Arn Anderson, my bad. And whoa. Then that was a great moment right there. And Ricky Starks was also a guest trainer. Also always learning from Glaciers, always great. He's one of the greatest coaches I've ever been with. And see some other names here. Oh, and Darby Allin was a guest trainer at one point as well. So a lot of AEW guys come in and out at the Nightmare Factory, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. And you're based out of Atlanta for that. So let's talk a little bit more about where you have performed. I mean, I follow you on social media. You know that. And we've met a couple of times. And I'm just impressed with how your persona has changed, your confidence. Where have you performed besides DCW?
Oh, yeah. So lately I've been all over the place. I've done a lot of Nightmare Factory live shows. They'll travel around the Georgia area and also North Carolina as well. So wrestling in North Carolina. I've done some shows over in Cincinnati as well. Tennessee and Orlando at Pro Wrestling 2.0. They got some great guys over there as well. I've just been all over the East Coast right now. I'll be in Washington D.C. January 9th. Don't know the promotion's name yet, but once I do, you guys can find me there. But continuing to get out there.
Well, you know, one of the co-hosts of the show, Chris Evans, lives in North Carolina, and I've been trying to get him. Yeah, he lives. I'm trying to remember where. I can't remember exactly where it is. He's even a relative, but you know, and I've been trying to get him to go to one of your shows, but his work schedule. Yeah,
yes.
And eventually, I'm going to find out. I'm going to get you guys together because you guys would have a lot of fun talking to each other.
So. Oh yes, no, 100%.
Yeah. So let's get back to DCW. Let's talk about the event itself because once again, Manny has brought in a couple of big names for a seminar.
Oh.
And
yes,
also
sir.
For performing on December the 3rd and 4th. Tell us who is coming to Salt Lake City because this one's got me excited, man.
Yeah, we got a huge treat for the Salt Lake City audience. We got the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows. It's going to be a good time. It's always a good time when the Good Brothers are in town. A few months ago, we had Luke Gallows in. We did a bar fight, and then he was also at the show for – back in August, and now we're going to have a huge bar fight on Friday with both the Good Brothers. It's going to be great.
Yeah, you know, when you talk about the Good Brothers, I'm just going to say this right out loud. Impact,
yeah.
Impact World Tag Team Champions.
Impact World Champs, yep.
They have been on AEW, which I love AEW, I really do. And then they were also members of the WWE roster, world champions there. And then they were part of the Bullet Club in Japan.
Yep.
And at the time, I mean, this was a few years ago, but there was no faction bigger than the Bullet Club. They were reaching that NWO level, and they still are very, very popular. You still see a lot of Bullet Club merchandise out there. That has to be
100%.
Really fun to meet these guys and be able to, you know, go to the learning tree, as they say, learn from these people.
Oh, yeah, I'm super blessed. And, yeah, anywhere these guys go, it's money. As you said, everywhere they went, they're champions. They're just tearing it up, and they're going to tear up Salt Lake City. They're looking to have a good time. And you already know Brett Boucher is looking to have a good time as well.
Yeah, I know. And you have family in the area that you said you're visiting for the holidays right now.
Yes, sir.
So that has to be, you know, it gets expensive going to all these schools and then all the travel that you're doing. But you sound like you're having the time of your life.
Oh, 100% time of my life. I'm living the dream. And that just says you got to invest your money in yourself. You can't expect things to be handed to you. You got to go out there and take risk and see where it goes. So I'm so glad I spent all the money on all these extra trainings and made the move to Atlanta because I'm living the dream. It's insane.
And you had to have a supportive family, too. I know.
Oh, 100%. My mom's my number one fan for sure. Yes.
I haven't met your mom, but I've seen a lot of the comments she's made. And I think I kind of met her, you know, one of the events. I think I know who she is, you know, if I saw her.
Yeah. Everyone knows Mama Boucher.
That has to be cool to have your family being so supportive and coming to the events. That has to be something special.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I don't think my mom has ever missed a show here in Salt Lake. So, yeah, she's always sad when I'm traveling and wrestling out of state because she misses watching me perform live.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that event again that's coming up. You're going to have a seminar on the 3rd and 4th with the Good Brothers. And
yes,
any professional wrestlers that would like to get involved with that, you need to invest in yourself, like you said, because these guys are pros. I mean, they know
100%.
The ins and outs. So how can people get involved with that?
Oh, so just reach out to any devotion worker on Facebook or Instagram, Twitter, and we can definitely reserve your spots for sure.
And then you're going to have the event on the 4th. It's at the Gateway. You've got got plenty of parking around there, and also the Gateway's got some great restaurants in it too, so
some good food. Yes.
Yeah. And how can people get their tickets, and what is the cost for the 3rd anniversary show going to be?
So we're giving you guys a steal here for great entertainment, and you got the Good Brothers. It's only $20 for general admission. You can pay $25 for VIP seating. That's front row, baby. You don't want to miss that. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Devotion, and we'll gladly get you on the list for some tickets.
And you will not have a better time if you love professional wrestling than going to
Devotion.
Devotion
knows how to put it on a show.
They really do. And yeah, I don't know if you remember when they corralled me at the last minute and I was one of the ringside announcers, and I had a big old cast in my arm. Yeah.
You were, that's right.
And I had a big old cast in my arm. I could barely walk. And
hey, you did a great job.
Well, yeah. I mean, because it was a last-minute thing. Maddie came up to us. Would you mind? And, you know, since I've been doing, you know, I've done some ringside announcing in the past and in Louisiana, and I just had one of the greatest times of my life, and I just can't say enough how much I appreciate how you guys at Devotion Championship Wrestling have opened yourselves up to, I consider you friends now, but also being on the podcast and putting on such a great show for people in the Salt Lake City area. But if somebody wants to watch them, you have Fight TV. You have shows every week on Fight TV, yes, free ones. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone can find us on Fight TV. Definitely start catching up on the episodes. Be ready for when the big 3-year comes up. You can find us on Fight TV, also on YouTube. You can catch up on all the episodes there. Just search up Devotion Championship Wrestling and sit back and have a good time watching all the great action.
Brett Buffshay has been our guest on Turnbuckle Trash. Once again, Brett, give us your social media.
Oh, yeah, so it's Brett Buffshay, B-U-F-F-S-H-A-Y, on all social media platforms.
And if, you know, guys, look up Rekha Tahaka, Andrew Sowell, Tom Chad, Tombstone Jesus. I got to tell you, I am a Tombstoner. I know right now you got a little, you know, a little friction there, but I am a Tombstoner.
A little bit of heat.
Yeah. But you guys put on a great show, and I hope you have a great show on December the 4th at the Gateway, right in downtown Salt Lake City. Once again, give us the ticket prices and how people can get tickets in advance for this great show.
Yeah, definitely hit up Devotion Championship Wrestling on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can hit up myself. Definitely hit us up quick, because tickets are selling quick and fast. It's going to be a sold-out show for sure. But ticket prices are only $20. And just hit up Devotion Championship Wrestling.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG, Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. davesvoiceworks.com, spell works, W-O-R-X.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the outfits before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
We have to say a big thank you to Buff. I mean, this young man has taken especially the last year, and he has worked so much on his craft with his training and his diet and more. And he's going to be defending his belt in a triple threat match with his old tag partner, Brother Chadwin, and Andrew Sowell, one of my favorites. I've been a Andrew Sowell fan for a long, long time. And Andrew, you know, Buff is, these two young men you're going to go against, watch out, because if you want your belt back, you're going to have to do something, in other words.
Well, the only thing I can say is, Andrew, please take off the mask that you have. You look like Uncle Fester. I'm sorry, I'm looking for a light bulb for you. I mean, Andrew, I'm sorry. Last time we remember, you were the duct tape champion. Now you were the fascist champion, and now you're this dime store bank robber. I don't know what's going on with him. I think he's some mental. What?
Chris, I think you better be. I think you're glad you're in North Carolina. You know.
Yeah, I think if I ever was to meet Mr. Andrew Sowell or Sowell, I think him and I would probably get I would probably get eye to chest, and he would have to look down on me because I'm so short.
Yeah.
But
Oh, that was good.
But at least I can get, look, Mr. Andrew, before we keep going, Mr. Andrew, I do have some Mother's Miracle-Gro glow wash for your hair, for your head, like I do, because you don't have any hair like me.
Uh-huh.
It gives off a good shine. Hopefully the cameras will be able to see you.
Got to shine that up a little bit.
Yeah.
But remember, you can always watch the Devotion on Fight TV, and they also have a YouTube channel, and follow them on social media too, if you're listening to us, wherever you're listening to us. They're great guys. They're up and comers. I mean, really.
They're very good.
They do all very their great seminars. I mean, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson together, the Impact Tag Team Champions that have been in New Japan and more, and WWE too. So they're bringing in great talent into the Rocky Mountain area, and this is becoming very quickly one of the areas in the country that people are saying, yeah, these guys know what they're doing. Devotion Championship Wrestling, Manny, hats off to you. You've done a great job.
A heck of a job.
Yeah. So in the world of professional wrestling, we're wrapping up the year 2021. And once again, we want to remind everyone, here on Turnbuckle Trash, we always do an end of the year. And Chris, are you with me?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay, I just heard something funny. So anyway.
That's okay.
So we always do an end of the year where we talk about some of the highlights, the lowlights of the year, and some of the things that we hope can happen in the future. And one of the things that I know you enjoy so much about our year-end show is the blooper segment, the butt fumbles, as we used to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where at the end of every one of – yeah, go ahead.
I loved them. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I was just saying
at the end of every one of our podcasts, when we sign off and then we have that little segment where, you know, where it says, you know, thank you for listening and all that stuff. If you listen all the way to the end, you'll hear some of the crazy, weird stuff that we do. It's either cut out or we leave it in. But it's all mixed together, and it'll make you laugh. And it's always at the end of every podcast. But the year end, we take all these, and it's usually a 15 to 20-minute segment of us just doing weird, strange, unusual, funny stuff. And it is a hoot to put together. And I really enjoy doing that for us every year. So we'll be doing that and maybe asking some questions of some of the people. Listen, Richard, thank you so much for listening. You know who he always makes comments on our Facebook page, and we appreciate anyone that wants to make a comment, whether you think we're right or whether you think we're wrong. That, you know, we will respect your opinion on our Facebook page, and I think that's something that is a little bit different. So that brings us to something I forgot I wanted to talk about, is social media. Now, we have been really critical of social media, especially wrestling pages. But I got another thought here, because there are a couple of wrestling pages where some people are just, how do we say this? Assholes. Okay. They're just being real jerks about what they're talking about. And I think I figured out why. We've talked about this keyboard courage, but I think this is their way of playing wrestling, because now I get to play like a heel. I get to be a heel. I get to be MJF. You know, I can play the heelish character, and everybody will hate me. And in other words, they're trolling for people to react to them. So, but I think it's because they say, well, I'm going to get a reaction. I'm going to be a heel. And I think that's part of the reason social media just aggravates the you-know-what out of us. So,
of course. Yeah, we can't stand it, and I hate it. That's why Zane got off of social media, because he was tired of the BS every time he would get on it. I mean, I'm tired of, you know, talking to people that don't want to listen. Or it's like talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
Or it's talking to a family member that don't want to listen to you. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And, I mean, if I could, I would cut social media off myself. But like everybody else, it's what keeps you going, and you like it. But there's some people out there that need to have a psychologist come up there and, you know, jab them with an electric poker. But
speaking of that, Monday Night Raw, a scary situation occurred on Monday Night Raw for the WWE when Seth Rollins had just finished his match and he's walking back to the locker room. And I don't even want to call him a fan. I don't want to even call him a gentleman. I want to call him somebody who obviously needs some help. Jumped the rails and attacked Seth Rollins in another scary, scary situation. And
yeah, that was bad. Go ahead.
So, Chris, on social media, you found this guy, Elijah, talking about what happened. And I'm going to play this segment, and I don't want people to make fun of him too much. I mean, it's easy to make fun of the guy, but it's obvious the man needs some help, and we'll explain that a little bit. Where did you find this clip of this man?
It was on the Cult of Cornette. The Cornettes, as they call themselves sometimes, or just the cult. They were posting it so much, the admin said, if anyone else posts this idiot back on this page, you will be banned from here. We are tired of giving this man 15 minutes of fame. He needs to be put away. And I couldn't help it. I had to share it with us because I want to let everybody to hear and listen to what this man said. And it was the funniest thing. And it was kind of scary at the same time that this man thinks like this.
Yeah. And once again, it's obvious when you're going to hear this, that the man is having some trouble with reality.
Oh yeah.
But it was, I mean, if you want to talk about cutting a promo, he did a good job cutting a promo.
Yep.
But he's not a wrestler. And he said that he was booked by Vince McMahon and Goldberg.
Yeah.
I mean, say what? So listen closely. And once again, I mean, listen to this with kind of an ear towards this man needs some help. Okay. Here we go here on Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh, that was me on WWE. I was booked from Goldberg and Vince McMahon, and I jumped over the barricade because I told Vince McMahon I had personal beef with Kobe Lopez. Vince McMahon did not tell Kobe I was going to be there. And the personal beef is between me and Kobe, and he knows what he done. So as a related to the tribal chief, as a tribal chief cousin, Royal 452, on Instagram, I did what I had to do. I made my family proud. Because we are the ones. And WWE officials, I appreciate you for taking me off, Kobe Lopez. Because you know what was about to happen. I did it for Rikishi. I did it for The Rock. I did it for all my tribal family. And I appreciate this message worldwide. Because I'm an upcoming WWE superstar.
So, Chris, either the man has some mental issues or he has some substance abuse issues, one of the two, because why would you do something like this, attack somebody where you could possibly go to jail and possibly hurt yourself or... And give Seth Rollins some credit for not fighting back too much and not beating, you know, the what out of this guy? Really?
You could see it in Seth's body language that he was mad.
Yeah, you could see it.
And whoever the security team was for them, I think that they're probably looking for another job.
Yeah. And you work security, so you know.
If I was the boss of the security, I would have fired each and every one of them as soon as they got back through the curtain. That right there was BS. Seth should never have been touched. How this guy got over the railings without someone catching him is beyond me. But when he got out of jail and he posted this, it was absolutely insane. You got your 15 minutes of fame, sir. You'll never go to another WWE event ever again. They've got your pictures, they've got your voice, and the only way that you're going to see WWE is if you pay for it or you're watching Monday Night Raw. And I'll make you a bet that this man has probably got a DVR and he's probably at home right now watching him do this every 5 or 10 seconds.
You're providing a unique look at this because you do work security. That's your business. You work security. What kind of training does someone that is doing an event security like that? What are you looking for, Chris? I mean, I'm just asking you off the top of your head.
I'm looking. Well, the biggest thing that you would have problems with the WWE is the alcohol that's going to be distributed there. If it was me, I would have more security down the walkways of the wrestlers. As soon as the wrestlers were to walk, they would be just like with Goldberg. As soon as, you know, he beat his head against the door and the security would walk with him. Vince, this is probably what's going to happen from now on. You're going to have someone walk down the aisles with these wrestlers, because you've just been shown that if that man had a knife,
yeah,
that man could have stabbed him as many times, because Seth, I'll give him credit, he was not trying to defend himself, but that man could have had a knife and Seth could be dead.
Yeah, and Seth, when they finally showed him going off the stage, he turned around, lifted his arms to the crowd, and his mouth was bloody. Somehow, and his mouth wasn't bloody when he left the ring. So it was a dangerous situation.
He got a good shot. That guy got a really good shot in and got him pretty good across the mouth. Yeah. And Seth, I give you all the credit in the world. If that had been me, he'd have been eating soup through a straw, because he wouldn't be able to move his jaw.
Yeah.
But as for the security team with the WWE, I hear Jiffy Lube continues to hire. So you all need to go find another line of work.
Wow.
Like I said, if that had been me and I was running that team, as soon as they got through that curtain, you would have had your pink slips right there and then. And then I wouldn't probably have a company.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I would have lost everything.
Wow.
But yeah, that right there, that was very scary for the wrestlers and for the fans. We don't know what this man's mindset truly is. So he could have had anything. We don't know. We really don't know.
Yeah.
But the way I saw it was Seth nearly died that night.
Right.
And that's how scary it can be, folks. And DCW, if you need some security, I can give you a name. No, I'm just joking.
You just have to fly him out from North Carolina. And yeah.
Oh no, I would hire him from Utah. I would have to come up to Utah and, you know, hire some people, but I gladly would do it if that's what DCW would love. Wait a minute. That's great. Hold on. I got a good idea. We can have a pay-per-view at DCW. I can be the evil security guard, and Andrew Sowell, I can slide into the ring and hit you with a stunner. I think I got a, oh man, that man is going to be calling me one of these. Oh, really?
and Andrew's not somebody you want to mess with, Chris. Guaranteed.
that's never going to hear.
He's going to call you a wannado and okay, you're going to get it now. And Andrew, remember, I'm the one that's being nice. I am the nice one of this group. So.
You know what? I would love to meet Andrew and just say two things. Look, man, you were a great champion. You were good on the mic. You're good at your skills, and I have no problems against you. But I would love to just do a little comedy routine. Oh, I'm a fascist, huh? Go in there and I'm a fascist. Now, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that would be perfect.
You know, as we wrap up this year, and we're going to wrap up the podcast here in just a little bit. On Saturday, January the 1st, the WWE opens up their road to WrestleMania with something they're calling WWE Day One. Now, this is going to be a pay-per-view. It's going to be in Hotlanta, Georgia. And, that's right in the backyard of All Elite Wrestling, where the training facilities are for the Nightmare Factory. Mm-hmm. So, but they're going to go to Atlanta. But I understand that the ticket sales are a little bit lackluster.
Hmm.
The New Year's Day is going to be one of those days. I mean, you know, got the New Year's Eve celebration on Friday night this year, but New Year's Day, that's a day set aside for football. You know,
yes,
you got
it is.
College football all day long, and I know this is going to be a night event. I'm just wondering how this is going to go over. Your thoughts, as opposed to having a big-time, very important college football game, as opposed to having a WWE pay-per-view going on at the same time. Now, I know we do this a little bit on Monday Night Football, but this is college football. Is there going to be a difference in how many people are going to want to go or watch this event?
Nobody will probably want to. They won't have – the ticket sales will probably plummet because if it's got anything to do with Alabama and Georgia, you got to remember if it's Georgia football, they'll sell their next of kin to go to a football game just like they would in Alabama. But no, I don't see that this is not a good move by Vince. Why would you have an event when you know college football is there?
Yeah, I'm kind of questioning that. I know the WCW used to do that, or the NWA when Dusty Rhodes was back in there. I think if I'm not mistaken, the first Starcade might have been on New Year's Day. I'm going to kind of look that up.
I think it was.
Yeah, I think it might have been on New Year's Day. So, but anyway, I'm just kind of interested. I'm going to be watching this very closely as to whether they're going to have a good turnout or a good amount of pay-per-view buys. But, of course, with it being on Peacock, I don't know if we should call that pay-per-views anymore. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I really don't think you should call it pay-per-views anymore because, I mean, they're not doing it like they did in the old days where they said, okay, you have so many days and order the pay-per-view for $59.95 or whatever. And now you can get on the Peacock Network for basically nothing, but you are paying a little bit for it. But I just don't know if it's going to work. And why Georgia? Of all the places, why Georgia?
Well, I think I'm wondering if they're going to try to call it Starcade. I don't know if they can, but they're calling it day one, but I seem to remember that a Starcade or Dusty Rhodes did some sort of an event on New Year's Day. I know that Junkyard Dog and Bill Watts did a show at the New Orleans Superdome with Junkyard mm-hmm. Dog. I think that's where JYD won the championship, and it was in New Orleans, and that was on a New Year's Day several years ago. So, but that's where we're heading to. For that, and that should probably open up the road to WrestleMania, which this year is going to be in Dallas, Texas.
Mm.
And they're going to have a two-night event. And who said that we were not going to have anything else but two nights events for WrestleMania last year? Who said that? I think some guy in Utah said that. So, yeah.
It was you.
Yeah, I did. I said, I don't think we'll ever have another one night event of WrestleMania. So that's coming up, WrestleMania.
Yeah. And the road to WrestleMania will Big E hold on to the title till WrestleMania? We don't know. How is he doing as champion? I mean, do you see any difference as champion?
I have no problem with him being champion at all. He's making a lot of personal appearances. I mean, he's going to Las Vegas one night to bring fighters into the ring for the UFC and boxing twice already. He's done that once for UFC, once for a boxing title match. And then the next day, been at a WWE event, and he's doing TV shows and things like that. Roman Reigns has been on Jimmy Fallon last week. He was on there. So I think WWE is still doing a wonderful job at promoting their product. And I'm just kind of wondering if AEW is still going to try to start getting their champion or some of their wrestlers involved more in the talk shows. And are the talk shows at night going to say, well, we'd rather have Roman Reigns than Hangman Adam Page? Huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But if you notice, I put something back on the Facebook pages where Big E was in New York. And he went to that deli that's been on TikTok so much. That man is so famous. And he was making him a sandwich with Bootios. And he wanted the Aki way.
Uh-huh.
And I watched that, and you can see Big E just licking his lips. That sandwich, oh, my God, it was as big as a 40-ounce beer bottle.
Woo.
And, yes. I mean, you're putting – oh, you need to watch it, Boo. The only thing that you probably wouldn't like is having the cheese on there. But this man became so famous for making these sandwiches. They say at the Aki way, he opens it up. I'd love to have one of them, but I think my cholesterol would go up about 60 points. But other than that, I mean, who puts cereal on a sandwich?
I would.
He says, but it has to be made with Bootios.
Bootios. Yeah.
Bootios. It's like, what?
And you're talking about the New Day, but on the pay-per-view, Survivor Series, mm-hmm. there was a bit on there where they had a segment that was sponsored by Pizza Hut talking about their box with three different levels, pizza and I think mm-hmm. a dessert and yep. all that. And the Street Profits came out and they stole the box and they were throwing pizza into the stands, you know, a slice of pizza. And I'm telling you, one of those slices of pizza, it went like a frisbee and it went into the upper deck.
Wow.
You could see it on TV. It just kept flying and flying and flying. I was going, can you imagine what the cheese would have done with the centrifugal force? And I don't like pizza.
Well, speaking of the New Day, there is another rumor going around that the King is thinking that he's fixing to be cut and he's expecting to be off the roster very soon.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, he's been making these little side remarks about, you know, they're cutting all these people and I'm not being used like I should. I know of a good way. Let him become Universal Champion.
Uh-huh.
Let the King dethrone the head of the table.
Oof.
Because he's never won a real major championship. So he needs to win the King. He needs to win the title.
Uh-huh.
But do you think he would or do you think he should? No,
I really, you know, I don't know. I think he would be better off with the IC title right offhand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think people react to him the way they react to a Big E or a Kofi Kingston. He's a solid performer. I'll say that he's very funny. He's a solid performer. I just don't know if he's, you know, can carry that title. I might be completely wrong, but is it going to be the return of Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania? Is that going to happen, or are they going to do something to bring The Rock on board?
I think it'll be The Rock because we haven't seen Rock in a long time. He's already made a statement that he will probably be coming back to the WWE, and then, you know, like he did with Punk, he came back, won the title, then dropped it at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't know. But to be frank, I really don't want to see The Rock. I really don't. I don't want to see him. Your time has already passed. Yeah, you can come in and make your appearance and do your movie little skit, and that's fine. Don't go drink your tequila. That's fine, but your time has passed. I don't want to see you anymore.
But I think he would be a great 007.
Yes, I will give him that.
I would love to see The Rock as 007. I
think he would make a good 007. I think the guy that plays Spider-Man would make a good 007 as well, as a younger version. But
all of us old guys out there, the other night I was watching Pluto TV, and I found an episode of The Beverly Hillbillies with Jethro Bodine becoming a double aught spy. Young guys, you won't know what that's all about, but it has something to do with 007, a double aught spy, Jethro Bodine. Look it up on YouTube. Hilarious stuff. It just
a great show.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm expecting maybe The Rock will come back. Maybe Brock will have another Rock versus Brock. So who knows? We don't know yet because they haven't wheeled up trucks of money for The Rock yet.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. It's going to be Lesnar against Roman Reigns.
Oh, boy. Yay.
Haven't seen that anymore. Yeah. But anyway. Anything else you want to talk about today?
No, not really. We've gone through our rumor mill and everything like that. We've gone through. Too bad that Zayn couldn't show up and grace us with his presence.
Well, he is so busy right now, and I tried to get in touch with him, He'll be on the next one, I guarantee. So.
Yeah, his business is taking off now. Yeah. That's great for him. I'm proud of him. He needs to, you know, be on his own and provide for his family. And that's the main purpose. And that's the biggest thing. And, but I don't know. I'm just looking around. Went to Walmart and was looking at the toys, looking at all the wrestling toys. And between AEW and WWE, it's an amazing thing to look at. And then you have to order Ring of Honor stuff, and they look like they came from China because half their faces are not very good.
and speaking of Zane, real quick, he did text me the other night and said, RK Bro is the best thing going in the WWE right now.
It is.
It's pretty good. The segment they did on Monday Night Raw with Riddle dressed up like Randy Orton,
that made me
laugh. And I even told my wife at the time, I said, that is a good combination of comedy and wrestling. And,
yes, it is.
And hats off. And thanks for pointing that out to me, Zane O'Mac. So there you go.
Yeah, I just got through watching USWA last night and watching the Moondogs go at it.
I love the Moondogs.
Well, they were going after Mike Pence and another gentleman, and they hit that man with such force with that chair, I felt it. I have one question. Is both Moondogs passed away?
Or I believe so. Alive? One of them passed away actually at an event, had a heart attack. If you remember that just a few years ago, I think it was Moondog Spot, wasn't it?
Moondog Spot. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, he had a heart attack and passed away, not because of anything that happened in the ring, but he did have a heart attack while he was performing. So
those two up.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah, they were. And you know what? I looked at myself in the mirror the other day. My hair wasn't combed, and I got the big white beard and the wild hair, and I said, man, I look like one of the Moondogs. So great tag team.
When you did your video call, I had to take a second look. I was like, well, you have a chair shot for me here in just a second. I said, here we go. Ring the bell.
Well,
but it's been fun. It's been real fun today.
Yeah, it has been a lot of fun.
Yes, it has.
And thanks to the DCW champion, and don't forget they're having their big event. They're going to have a meet and greet with the tag team champions. They're going to be Marcosian Motors in Salt Lake City. That's on Redwood Road on South End. That's going to be on Friday night, December the 3rd. They're also having bar fights that night, which is a unique event. I'm going to have to get Manny to talk to us about what the bar fights are all about, but they get a lot of people out for that. Then they're having their third anniversary show on Saturday. And also, if you are a wrestler and you'd like to have your work looked at by the Impact Tag Team Champions, they're having a seminar, and they're going to do that, I think, on Saturday. But you can check out their social media, get in touch with any DCW performer, and it's well worth your money to have people help you with your craft. So I'll say that, and I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to take the place of Zane O'Mac, and I'm going to say one thing. It's a great time to be a fan of professional wrestling.
Professional wrestling. Amen. Amen.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro yes! wrestling from a fan's yes! perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, you aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Both birds are now stuffed. Oh, my gosh, what a dinner. Yeah, one was good and one laid an egg.
It was a $100 million egg, according to Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yeah, I've basically been here since the beginning, and I love DCW.
He's just a less famous Miz.
Oh, no, not him.
Yeah, man, don't get me started on him.
Hit Row.
Oh boy, yay! We get to see it again.
Hit Row. Oh, I hated that theme song.
Everyone knows Mama Boucher.
I am a tombstoner. I know right now you got a little a little friction there, but I am a tombstoner.
You look like Uncle Fester. I'm sorry, I'm looking for a light bulb for you.
I am the nice one of this group. So.
Oh man, those ropes are no joke. They will eat your skin up.
Who puts cereal on a sandwich?
I would.
He says, but it has to be made with
Budios.
Budios. Like, what?
All right, sounds good.
Friends would always ask to hang out like on Friday night. I'm like, sorry, I can't. I gotta watch SmackDown.
Well, I would probably get eye to chest, and he would have to look down on me because I'm so short.
I'm living the dream.